God, Most High, Almighty King, the champion of heaven, Lord of everything. You fought, you've won, death's lost its sting, and standing in your victory we sing. You have broken the chain that held our captive soul. You have broken the chains and used them on your foe. All your enemies are bound, they tremble at the sound of your name. Jesus, you have broken the chain.
Good morning. You know, I think if Dave's going to keep playing this way, that me and the pastor are going to have to start choreographing this thing. I mean, we could call it Dave and Us. We'd be the Us. Pretty disgusting Us. Anyway, we are awfully. Doesn't he get you ramped up and ready to go? Just get your blood, your blood. Somebody told me, I'm not going to mention it was Jessie. She said to me, walk like you want to feel. You in here? I don't even see Jessie. Where's she at? Okay. Didn't mean to embarrass you. Walk like you want to feel. So, you know, she catches me doing this, you know, old man shuffle coming in here once in a time. You ever do that? Where you walk, your feet barely move. They just kind of go this way and that way, and your head is a little bit down. She come up, she'd grab hold of me and push my head back, pull my shoulders back, try to push out of you, and she, walk like you want to feel. She does. I think we've just been in, seen Yeah, I don't know if he was possessed or what. Anyway, yeah, it'd be ugly. We don't want to, we'll be satisfied with the beautiful music that Dave puts out, and we'll leave the ugliness out of it. Okay. Anyway, we want to thank you all for being here. Let's all. But you know, I got off course there. I was going to say we could do some calisthenic before we got started, so that we would get our, you know, get our blood, you know, get this side up. You could start doing jumping jacks, and this side could do touch your toes, and then we would reverse it, and then we'd be ready to go. So, anyway, we are glad you're here. We're glad you're ready. Got your blood worked up, and your heart is pumping. We've all I want to thank the guys that come out and did the blacktop. Yeah, you might not know it, but it's hard to see. But if you look out there, there's a lot of lines on the blacktop. They put down rubber inside of those cracks so that they could be, so that our blacktop lasts longer. Blacktop's an expensive item. And so that it will last longer. Some of the fellows of the church, led by Pete, put some, it was Pete, and I think Al was here, and Jim, and Pastor, and Pete's friend Eli. So he was a big help. They got out there and they put that blacktop's stuff down, and it was good. It's good to stay. Did that. Also, is Brian here? He had his first. Remember Brian and Roxanne. But as I was going to say, he had his first annual golf outing for the disc golf. And I was going to see if he could give us a result of who might have won that, but we probably wouldn't know the individual anyway. And then, of course, men's breakfast will be this Saturday, and ladies' breakfast is this Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So remember these things that you can take opportunity to be a part of for our meeting on Wednesdays at noon. And I saw a thing up here, and I think it's the Tapestry Homeschooler Group that meets here that they're in charge. You know, we may not think of that being much of a ministry of this church because basically they use our facility. But, you know, we need to pray for those kids. They're a part of this church, and each one of those children need prayed for on a consistent basis because they live in a world that we all live in a world that's kind of confusing and mixed up and has lost its way. And we need to pray for all of them so that they all continue to seek the way of the Lord to be the way of their life. So thank you so much for being here this morning. God bless.
Are you going to teach the dance class next week, starting next week? Not in the bulletin, but it will be by next week. No. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? It's time that we put aside the things of the week and the burdens of the week and really focus on what God has for us. Now, we're going to start out a little calmer. I sing praises. Let's stand, shall we? I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name. And greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord. Glory to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh,
a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
1 Corinthians 8, let's read together. But to us, there is but one God, and the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Father, you are the only name worthy to be worshiped this morning. You're the only way to heaven. Lord, we pray that each one of our hearts will treat you as the all in all. We just thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Had a busy week this week? Nah? Yeah. Did some crack filling. That was an adventure. It was fun, though, actually. Took these blocks of tar and heated them up, and then they were actually rubber, and then they turned it into liquid. But we had some funny incidences on there. Well, we had Dick and Jim were the blowers, so they blew the parking lot off. And then we had another guy named Eli. Is he 84? So we were there, and if the tar was wet and you stepped in it, you got stuck. So he was walking, and he stepped in it and pulled the bottom of his boot off. So he sprayed some tar on his boot and stuck it back onto the bottom so it worked. And then Pete's boot opened up like a little mouth and tore his off. But those are the only casualties we had, so we got most of the cracks filled. But we had a lot of fun. I mean, it was hot, but we had a lot of fun together. And so if you missed it, you weren't one of the crack people, but it was fun. And then my daughter had an accident this week, and she was on the highway on 670, going about 60, and somebody slammed their brakes on. And all these cars started swerving all these directions, and she ran in the back of the last car. So the insurance wouldn't cover it because we didn't have that kind of coverage, that if it was supposedly nobody's fault. So I got the front end all pulled off her car and looking for parts to put that back on, but that's been kind of an adventure as well. Did the ox roast this morning. That was fun. And all kinds of stuff happening. I can't remember what I did this week. Too many things happening this week, but it was fun, whatever it was that I did. Can't remember. So I guess the older you get, you forget things, you know, and then so you don't remember all the bad stuff. You only remember the good stuff. Anybody else have anything they want to share this morning, what God's doing or what's happening? We got the men's retreat coming up, so if you haven't signed up, sign up for that. Jesse and I were on the bus passing out bracelets. We passed out like maybe 800.
I guess I'd better stand up and stand real tall. And Russ and I have laughed about that. But I told him, I said, the reason I'm telling him is so I remember it myself. But anyway, that time yesterday on the LifeWise bus was such a blessing, I think, for all of us on the bus and hopefully for those catching the bracelets and a lot of children and adults. And I pray for LifeWise Academy that it will, you know, come into this community and strengthen the young people that need to know Jesus' name and what he taught. And it's just, it would be such a good thing for what we go through. And as you said, Pastor, or maybe Russ said, so much bad going on around us. But we talked in Sunday school about how God brings good from bad. And we just count on that and trust it every day.
School board elections are coming up. Mayor elections coming up. I think it's in November. So we have two people running, Shelton Stanley and Rhonda Tabor. So if you get a chance to vote for them, it's not political, I guess, I'm just telling you. But trying to get some people on the school board that are maybe Christians or that want LifeWise and want a positive Christian influence for the kids. And the LifeWise program is not church-based. It's not on a church. It's non-denominational. It is teaching character education with biblical principles. And I don't know how anybody can disagree with that, but somehow our school board disagrees with that, so we'll see what happens with this next election. And if they get in, fine. If they don't, God knows what he's doing. So we'll just pray for that. Pray for Roxanne Finley. She had to go to the hospital last night for a UTI or something like that. They're giving her antibiotics. So Brian went there this morning. Peggy and Roger Luke both have upper respiratory infection going on. So I don't know if anybody else has anything I haven't heard.
Ann Cordell, and she's actually here on Zoom with us, but she is home from rehab, and so we're praising God, but remember her in prayer as she continues to recover from hip surgery. And just a praise. We had a good time this time with our family, or my girls. We went to Disney and had a good time, flew over the hurricane. Everything went well for us. And the song that he had up there about just where would we go if we didn't have the Lord, you know, and we were talking about in Sunday school how we can look to the world to satisfy our needs, but it's always going to fall short. But why would we go looking for anywhere else, you know, when we know that the Lord is good and he is there for us, and he is the jewel worth seeking after and continue to seek after. He is there for us. And he has been there this week through, you know, our daughter's accident. It was about 5 cars involved in it, and it was messy. She came away with a few aches and pains, and we just praise God that he is worth sticking to as he sticks with us through everything we go through.
Patty Heine, she had a stroke last week, and she's going through some rehab, so she could use your prayers, and just thanking God he's going to put all the parts back together so she has good mobility.
I want to thank everyone for praying for Pete and I's nephew, Eli Hammond. Some of you know he had blood clots in his knee this week, so he spent a couple of days in the hospital, and he had 10 blood clots in his knee. He's only 18. So they put him on blood thinners, and he'll have to be on them for 6 to 7 months, and they'll check him as outpatient periodically for other blood clots the next several months. But he's doing better. He's home, and so just thank you for your prayers and ask you to continue to pray for him.
I'd like prayer for our friend Dick Lukey. He had a stroke several months ago, and he's, 92, maybe 93, and he's lost his will to live. And in our Sunday school today, we talked about giving up, you know, and how important it is for us to not give up and to turn to the Lord, regardless of what we're going through. And just please lift, his name is Dick, Dick Lukey. He actually, his house is about 3 stories down, 3 homes down from here. And it's just, was just a vivacious and wonderful person. And just keep him in your prayers, please.
I just want to praise the Lord for my daughter-in-law's sister's little boy. Well, he's not little. He's about 13 or 14. But he was hit by a car, and thank God he had no injuries. And then he turned around and broke his leg in 2 places. So I just praise God that it wasn't worse than it was.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning, for getting us through this week, all the things that happened to us, and good things and bad things, and things we like, things we don't like, but we know that you're there with us, guiding us, directing us. Pray for all these different requests that were made this morning, Lord. You heard every single one, and even those that haven't been spoken. Pray for healing in those situations that need to be healed, and wisdom for doctors in situations where they may not be sure what's going on, but they can find the answer for broken bones and infections and all these things that are going on, sicknesses, and we just pray for you to be with each one of these people that are going through these things. Pray for you to give guidance and direction and comfort. We pray for their salvation, that they may know you. Thank you that you've given protection to those this week who could have been injured seriously, for the disc golf, the that went on with 22 people out there, that maybe they got some kind of information about the church and about you. And thank you for the ox roast this morning. Pray for those who were there, and pray for the other churches around the community, Lord, that you'd be with them this morning as they're having their services. Just guide and direct and be with those who can't be with us, those that are on Zoom, and those who may be traveling. Be with us the rest of the service, the special music, and for your message, and for your fellowship in your name. Amen.
Aren't you glad God is faithful? I've had to remind myself of that many times in the last 6 months. And he is faithful to do what he said he will do. Not made up. He's already stated it. We have it in his word. We just have to believe it and grasp it. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands. I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Be still, there is a river. Washes over me. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful. My hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God. You're faithful, God.
let faith arise. Let faith arise.
Thanks, Dave. Well, it seems a big push today is to do things by yourself, isn't it? To be independent. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, how to live, what I can say. That's even filtering down into our schools, isn't it? With kids. You can't tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want. There's no consequence for me. Well, as Americans, we're fiercely independent. We even have something called the Declaration of Independence, don't we? I was reading a Bible study this week, and it says one that may be responsible for the pervasive spread of expressive individualism. We've determined to become our own authority. The modern man rejects any external authority and has become an authority unto himself. Combine that with postmodernism, you get the truth of Oprah Winfrey that says, you have your truth and I have my truth. How can you have two different truths? How can they both be true? How can they all be true? It's either one truth or there's no truth. Then we say things like, you know, well, let them speak their truth. It's a language that seems popular today, doesn't it? Well, that's their truth. This is my truth. And we dismiss authority outside of ourselves and label it as oppressive and harmful. So if it's not my authority, then it's oppressive on me. It's harmful to me. But expressive individualism is a rebellion against external authority and a worship of internal authority. So if you're expressing yourself and your rights and you have this and you have that, and somebody else opposes that, then that's oppression. No, it's a difference of opinion, isn't it? You have a different opinion than they do. Maybe you see something different than they do. It used to be okay to have differences of opinions, to differences of beliefs, and you could talk about it, discuss it, and not bash the other person. But now if they believe different than you or say something different than what you say, then they're wrong, they're the enemy, you know, those kind of things. You're the enemy to them. But God tells us to be different. So how does he do that? He tells us in the Bible. But the problem is sometimes people take the Bible as just a reference book. Use it just to look up things. It's not really good for anything else. You look up things on certain topics. But it does talk about everything in life, doesn't it? It talks about every situation you could think of. It's in there in some form or fashion. And it's a book for everybody. I think it's still the best-selling book out there. But it's for sinners and for saints. It never gets old. You can never say, I don't need this anymore. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you still need God's word to lead you to him or help him lead you through whatever you're going through. You need the word. It can tell us how to be reconciled to God, to be redeemed through Christ, and give practical wisdom for everyday life. So it helps us in all those things. We all need redemption, don't we? To be redeemed, to be made new. Need to be reconciled. There's a lot of unreconciliation going on with people. People are upset with other people, other groups, even family members, churches, whatever it may be. There's unreconciled people out there that are mad at this person, mad at that person. Talked about this morning at the Ox Roast that there are people out there that blame Christians for what one person did. They had a bad experience in a church or where it was, and then those Christians are like that. Well, no, that one person may have been. But you don't blame the whole church. You don't do it when you go to the doctor, do you? All those doctors are like that. All those teachers are all the same. No. That store, they're all like that. All those, I'm not going to name a brand, but all those whatever restaurants are like that. They're all rude and their service is bad. It's not true. Just because you have one bad experience doesn't mean you need to label the whole group. But people tend to do that, especially in Christianity. But we know we live in a crooked world. And we have a lot of questions out there that sometimes we can't answer. Why is there injustice? There's evil in the world, we know that. There's people in the world that don't serve the Lord that want to do wicked things. How should we understand the place of government and authority? Especially these days. Why does it seem the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? We ask those kind of questions, don't we? But we don't always get answers to those questions. Sometimes we just have to say, I don't know. It's not what God wants, but that's what happens sometimes. He has all the answers in the Bible. But sometimes we don't get all the answers, do we? Sometimes you ask questions, you don't always get all the answers. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So there's things we don't know, but there are things that we do know. The things we do know, we're supposed to do. Like that? Things we do know, we're supposed to do. So do what you're supposed to do. That's what he's telling us. Yet everything we need to know for godliness and life is found in the Bible. Even though we have questions, even though people are doing the wrong things, he wants us to come together in unity. We talked about that this morning, about the churches in West Jeff. We need to come together in unity on the things we agree on, which is accepting Christ as Savior and Lord. We don't need to worry about how are you baptized or whatever different things there are. Okay? That's why we have doctrine, because we believe certain things and they may believe certain things, but the thing we need to focus on is that we want people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the important part. If we got all the churches in West Jeff to do that, we'd have a whole different community. And if the churches can't get along, why would Christians want to come in? I wouldn't want to come in. I told them that this morning. I said, if we can't get along, I don't want to come in. If people see us as Christians that can't even get along with each other, then why would non-Christians want to come in? We need to be example to that. But Paul talks about a unity in Ephesians 4. Paul says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, I then urge you to live your life worthy of the calling you had received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." That's pretty clear, isn't it? We have denominational names, but there's one Christ. There's one way to salvation. One way to get to heaven is through him. Too many times we see disunity among Christians for silly reasons, don't we? Well, I didn't like that. I didn't like that song you played. Well, I didn't like the way that person dressed. Well, you know, that coffee was too strong. They served deviled eggs at the potluck. I didn't like the length of that worship pastor's beard, or they even had a beard. His hair was too long. They had drums in the front. Stupid reasons. Stupid reasons not to go to a church or to leave a church. The problem is you get enough people that get upset about one thing, and they decide to band together and take off for stupid reasons. There are reasons you should leave. If they're not teaching Scripture, if things are going wrong with the leadership that's not right, and you talk to them, they decide not to change it, that's probably a time you want to go somewhere. But a lot of times, churches get in arguments over things that don't make any sense. You should just hold your tongue, possibly, pray about it, and then see if it's a big deal. Because maybe that's not a big deal after all. Maybe if the guy has a beard you don't like, too bad. Maybe he doesn't like your hair either, if you have it. Right? That's nothing to argue about. We're talking about Christian principles, not things we like or dislike or opinions. We're talking about the gospel. You can get the message from anybody that's preaching the word. Sometimes there's little kids I've heard on the YouTube preaching the word of God, and I'm like, man, we need to get them in our church and do a little message. Because they're preaching the truth. They're not afraid to say what needs to be said. But Paul says we should have unity. He says there's one body, which means all Christians make up the church of Christ. And he's absolutely right. There's no difference among Christians, even though we give ourselves different names. I'm a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or whatever. If you're preaching Christ, they need to preach Christ. You may have a different method. You may have different things. So you don't agree with some things they do. That's why you don't go to that church. But you all agree that Jesus is Lord. And when events come up like parades or whatever it may be that we can do, we need to participate. If another church is putting on a different event, we can go to that. That's okay. Nobody's going to go, oh, what are you doing here? You don't go to this church. That's not the point, right? And if somebody gets saved and goes somewhere else, that's okay. We're not what they call sheep stealers. We're not trying to pull their people into our church. We want to get people that don't know Christ to come into church. We're not trying to get people just to swap around. That doesn't help anything. We want to get people that don't know Christ to know him. There's different ways to do it. The church uptown has Harvest Chapel has a volleyball court up there. And they had volleyball tournaments. If you want to play in that, go play in it. But they had people that came in as an outreach. One of them had a pool party. That's okay. Go to those things. That's fine. We should be doing those things together and not say, well, I can't go because that's not my church. Well, who cares what the name says? If they're preaching Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then it's okay to do things there. If you're a Christian, you're going to be spending eternity worshiping in heaven, and he's not going to say, well, the Baptists go over there, the Methodists go over here, the Catholics, whatever, go here. He's not going to say that. He's going to say, you all that accepted me as Savior and Lord, whatever your title is, doesn't matter anymore, because you're all equal, you're all the same. We know sometimes that significant differences matter because Martin Luther did the right thing by attempting to reform the Catholic belief. And they responded to him and said, because we said so. They wouldn't debate him, but he was faced with opposition of staying in the church that he believed had abandoned the biblical doctrine or leaving. And his conscience demanded, I need to go somewhere else, because they were doing the wrong thing. But as Christians, we need to know that we're all on the same team. We're all in the same family, right? We have to be able to acknowledge one another, even if we disagree on some things. But if we agree that Jesus Christ is Lord and you accept him, that's how you get to heaven. That's the important part. Other things we don't need to worry about necessarily. In other words, though we meet on Sunday mornings in different buildings with different traditions, we still work together to reach our community for Christ. And at the very least, we need to be unified with the members of our church here. Right? If Maxine said something bad about me, did you, Maxine? I'm going to go and talk to her. I'm not going to go to somebody else and say, Maxine said that about me? I'm going to go to say, what's happening, Maxine? Did something happen? Let's fix this. Instead of saying, I'm going to be mad about that, I'm going to tell everybody else that she said this and he said that and they said that, and that's what happens. Now with Facebook and texting and all the other stuff we have, you don't have to face anybody face-to-face. You just text it and be anonymous and you can say whatever you want. But if we just said that when I was a kid to somebody's face, you would have got punched in the mouth. So you wouldn't say it. You'd make it right, right? But now we're just anonymous texting and saying things to people. So you take out the person of it. You take out the interaction. You take out the discussion part that needs to be there if something's happening. But we have a few pastors in West Jeff. There's four so far that I know of that we meet together, and we have lunch at Flyers. I think it's the first Wednesday, and we talk about what's happening in your church, what's happening in the community, what's going on, what can we do, and those kind of things. And we never even mention denominations. So it doesn't make a difference. We talk about how can we help, how can we support, what are you doing? And some of these guys are on the LifeWise thing as well, and doing the same thing we do here, and tell our church what's happening, and this is how we need to support. We're going to be putting a paper out that says, here's some things that we need. You know how we do that for VBS and stuff? You know, we need these juice bottles and whatever it is. Well, they're not going to be juice bottles, but they'll be, we need these signs, or we need these cards, or we need this whatever. Would you want to sponsor one of those things? And there'll be a thing out where you can sponsor a child. It's like, I don't know, $30 a year or whatever it is. I don't know how they figured it out, but it's like you're sponsoring a child overseas. You'd sponsor a child to go to LifeWise. So some of that stuff is coming up that we can help in those kind of ways. You've already given funds for that. Jesse had some of the funds that she had for the memorial, went to some of that. Other people have given to that, so we've been giving funds to them to help people know and follow Christ. So knowing and following are not two different things. They're the same thing, right? You know Jesus, and then you follow him. So you do what he says. And then he explains why should we do it. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 talks about walking worthy. It says there, and we already read it, but I'll read it again. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, and making every effort to keep unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. You always hear when they say therefore, you wonder what it's there for, right? He says therefore. He's making a transition. He had a prayer for them. Now he's explained who they are in Christ. Now he wants them to understand what it means in simple terms. He says, you're a child of God. Live like a child of God. We would say to our kids sometimes, you know, you're a Steinbrecher. You represent us. So live that way, because if something happens, then they're going to equate that name and action to the rest of us. So as Christians, the way we live reflects on Christ and the church, right? And they'll say, oh, they're from that church, and that's how they act. So we need to remember how we live and what we do and what we say. So live a life worthy of your calling. And that calling didn't come free, did it? It cost Jesus his life. God sent his son. So live worthy of your calling. The Greek word is better translated walk rather than live. And walk is an active thing. It's something that we do. And God promised to love us unconditionally. So we're free to live for him, not because of what we have or who we are, but because we've accepted him. So walk worthy means walk in a manner to show respect for him. But Paul gives some characteristics of walking worthy. Here's some characteristics of walking worthy. Humility. Realizing you've not earned God's love, but he's given it to you because he loves you. It's not something you earn, so you can be humble, not proud, not arrogant, and not saying, you know, look at that church over there, look at that church, we're better than they are. We're not here to judge them. We're here to walk in harmony with them. Gentleness. It's not about being weak, but it's talking about discipline and self-control. So you're not overwhelmed, and you can restrain yourself when you need to. You know, sometimes we don't need to say anything. Somebody may say something to you, and you don't have to answer. Somebody can insult you, and you don't have to say anything back. Right? And there are times when you do need to say something, but you say it in gentleness. Say, are you guys attending church? How's the family going? How's your faith? You can ask them those kind of questions without being rude or oppressive to them. Patience is about being long-suffering, willing to endure inconvenience, discomfort, insult, or injury without retaliating. That's a hard one, isn't it? How to be patient without retaliating, even when people do things wrong, without lashing out. It's commonly used to describe God's approach toward people, and he talks about bearing with somebody, where you kind of go along with it and let things go at the time. Doesn't mean you never say something's wrong, but it means you don't have to lash out. And then he talks about love, which is agape love, which is self-sacrificing, where we may give our time or resources or whatever it may be to other people to help them know that Christ is real. But all this results from the Holy Spirit. He talks about unity of the Spirit. You can't do this on your own. The Holy Spirit helps us do this stuff because naturally most of us are not inclined to do some or even all these things. Maybe a few, but to be unified is hard sometimes because sometimes it means you get in the back of the line, right? You don't get to go in the front. You have to say to somebody else, okay, you can go first. You've been to a potluck where you get to the end of the line, you go to the line, and all of a sudden you get done and there's nothing left. And you get 3 mashed potato spoons and some peas. Right? You ever done that? Yeah. And you let the guests go first. Let the kids go first. And then somebody goes through and has their plate like this. And you're like, what are you doing? That's called self-control, thinking of others better than yourself. Sounds bad, we're talking to adults, but that happens sometimes, doesn't it? The guests of the church should go first, the kids should go next. And then you take a small portion. We go, I told our kids, take a little bit right now. You can always go back for seconds. And if it's gone, then you've had enough. Right? That's humility, self-control. That's unity in the Spirit. That's thinking of others better than yourself. Even in potlucks and those kind of things. But some people don't do that. You ever go to those buffets? Like Old Country Buffet or whatever they have now here? It used to be Old Country Buffet. What's the new one now over here? Whatever it is, Golden Corral. I just about get sick when I go in there watching people fill their plates up. And I'm like, how can you eat that much? I just eat till I'm satisfied. And I'm like, that's good. You know, I didn't waste my money. I got my meal. They're like, they're going to be going on a fast for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, what in the world? I just try a little taste of all these things. But that's self-control, right? You may like tasting some things. You don't have to taste the whole plate of this and then the whole pie and then the whole everything else. Taste a little bit. But people are watching the way we live. You know what also they watch? If you're in a restaurant that gives a tip, they're watching if you give a tip or not. And you write, God bless you on the napkin and give them nothing. That's a poor witness. My wife always tells me 20%, 20%. I'm still in the 10% range, and I got to get 20% now. So we do 20% because that's the thing you should do to help people, and sometimes you give more. I accidentally gave more one time. So I gave a lady a $14 tip one time because I thought I gave her a $5. And they were like stuck together. I'm like, where'd the rest of that money go? My wife's like, well, you made her day. Yeah, I probably did. But Paul said, make every effort. Unity is not easy. It requires work, investment, and sacrifice for the sake of one another. Being unified to help somebody else. It's not just about you. What can I get out of this? How am I going to benefit? Sometimes you don't benefit. Sometimes you lose. But sometimes somebody else wins and Jesus wins. And that's what we have to look at. We do it for the sake of one another. Unity is in the Spirit. It's not something we create. We need to pray and ask and seek after unity in our church and among the church and the community. We're not at war with other Christians. Even though we have differences, we're supposed to cooperate with each other. When Paul says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, he means there's only one way to salvation, and that's through Christ. But there are some groups who claim that they're Christian groups, but yet they're not. They're teaching something totally different from the Bible. A lot of the cults that we have taken Scripture and twisted it to sound as if it's scriptural, but it's not even, if you look at the Scripture, it's not true. So we're not supposed to be unified with those guys because they're not part of the body. If they're not following Christ, they're not part of the body. You don't need to try to be unified with them because they're not part of Christ. So you've heard the term universal church, right? That means all people get together and everything, but to me it's a universal church only if they accept Christ. You're only universal church if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you say something different, you're not part of that church. You're not part of the prosperity. I probably shouldn't say that. Prosperity doctrine. Pray for this, you'll get it. If you want it, God will give it to you. He does give us things, but it's not about what we can get. He doesn't like churches that are separated because of ethnic or economic. He doesn't want us to be prejudiced against people that come in if they're different. He wants us to accept people and try to help them find him. He wants us to offer hope for salvation. He wants us to offer Christ, that they're going to be in heaven. And he wants us to offer it to everybody equally. Doesn't matter what their beliefs or position are or orientations are. Doesn't mean you need to accept it, what they believe, but you need to offer them Jesus to help them find something different that's an alternative to maybe what they're doing now. And he wants us to have faith in him. So what does walking in unity mean? Does it mean we all dress and act the same? Well, we're all these Christians that are all the same. We do all this and everybody does. No, we can act and dress differently. It means we're united in purpose and united in faith. That's what he's talking about. We have the same love, the same faith, the same mission. You can be diverse in your community, but yet still be unified, right? We can have different ideas, different thoughts, different people. We all have different personalities, but we can all be unified for the cause of Christ. Sometimes our diversity makes us stronger because people have different gifts and talents in different areas. If we all had the same gift, it'd be boring, wouldn't it? But we're all different, and God uses that. David says in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And then he prays, May they be perfected in unity so that the world may know that you sent me. So the world knows we're Christians as they see us united for Christ, not divided. Well, I have an illustration. I'm going to close with this illustration. It's about what does a loving church look like? One that's walking in unity with each other and with the Lord. So as a story I found, I changed some of it. There's a church in town where a man sneaks in the back door after the service starts. He's fresh off the streets, and he leaves before the altar call. People sitting close complain about how bad he smelled, or the beer or smoke and the sweat. But the pastor says to the Lord, Lord, I don't know, what am I supposed to say? Do I tell him to stay? Do I tell him to go? The people are complaining about it. Then there's a young mother who wears a dirty skirt and lets her four children come in and eat all the donuts and drink all the juice. Some of the staff say, man, they eat like little pigs, like they haven't eaten in weeks. And maybe they haven't. We don't know. But the mother just stands there and lets them eat. And the elders say, something must be done. Again, the pastor says, I'm not sure what we should do. And then there's the outcast woman sitting among the faithful. Everybody knows who she is and what she does. She sits with a painted face, cheap perfume, and a broken heart. And those sit close to her treat her for what they think she is. At that last staff meeting, her name came up. Something must be done. But the pastor cries out, I don't know what to say. The pastor's a good man, holy and just, and he wants to do the right and loving thing. He wants to look like Jesus. So he asks the Lord for direction. What should I do? The Lord says, dear pastor, here's what you should do. I need you to work together, to walk in unity regardless of what church that you lead. Start with this and say it louder than any other words. Welcome to church. This is a place of love and hope and safety and forgiveness. We'll be food for the hungry, living water for the thirsty, and we're so glad you're here. You're invited. You're loved. Come in. We've been waiting for you. Welcome here. We are the church. Say that to the called and the called out, to the leaders and the greeters, to the dirty and the clean. We're all the same. We're the church. May we blow the dust off religion out of our souls and choose love and unity instead. And may your words and actions and reactions be a sanctuary for all. That's what the church should be. We may not accept somebody's lifestyle, what they're doing, but we still need to lead them to Christ. We don't promote it, but we need to say this is what Jesus would do. He broke the laws a lot of times to love others. So hopefully we have the same voice he has, and may his words be our words. I believe we were kinder years ago than we are today. We need to get back to that kindness and respect for others. It takes all of us. We got to do a better job at looking out for others instead of breaking each other's down. And if it's somebody talks about a church uptown is doing this and that, you may say, well, you know, we need to love and accept them and help them then. And not say that's the enemy, because that's not the enemy, that's our brother. There's a story about that, isn't there? He's not heavy, he's my brother. Well, the one who carried his brother to the medical, I don't know how many miles he walked. And the guy said, isn't he heavy? He said, he's not heavy, he's my brother. And he carried him. So we need to carry one another, don't we? And be unified in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us this morning, Lord. Help us not just to hear your words, but to do your words. Change our attitudes, Lord. Change our mindset so that we know that we're all in this together. As those who are serving Christ, churches that are teaching about accepting Christ, Lord, are all in the same family. We're all in the same mission. Help us to invite those in who don't know you, even though we may not agree with their lifestyle or their positions or things, Lord, but let them come and see that you're here, you're real, and you're the one who changes lives and saves souls. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, shall we, sing this morning? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Let's go out and live the life that God wants us to live. Amen. Thank you.